The good news of God's love according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, people possessed by demons or having epilepsy or afflicted with paralysis, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we ask that God's kingdom will come, that God's will, which is always done in heaven, will also be done on earth. On the day when those prayers are finally answered, we will be living in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is how Jesus describes the world in which we live when God's will is always done on earth as it is done in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is offered as an alternative to the first century Roman Empire and to all of the violent and oppressive empires of human history. The empires of the world bless the people with wealth, with weapons, and with influence. The kingdom of God blesses people who are poor and powerless and defenseless. Jesus called his disciples from among the poor and persecuted people of Galilee, people experiencing the brutal occupation and heavy taxation of a foreign empire, people who had almost no agency in their own lives. It wasn't long before he and his disciples were being followed everywhere they went by a growing crowd of people suffering the effects of oppression, poverty, and disease. So Jesus decides that it is time to teach his disciples how it is that God's kingdom comes and God's will is done. Because he goes up on a mountain to offer this teaching, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, and it opens with 9 surprising statements about who is blessed in the kingdom of heaven. We call them the Beatitudes because the Latin word for blessed is Beatus. Jesus wants his disciples to see the poor and the persecuted as people who are blessed by God. He wants his disciples to embrace the values of meekness, of mercy, and of peacemaking so they can bring blessing to the poor and the persecuted. When the prophet Micah rebuked his people for not doing justice, for not loving mercy, and for not walking humbly with God, he was rebuking their failure to care for the poor, persecuted, and marginalized people within their communities. Micah imagines God bringing a lawsuit against the people of Israel because of their failure to uphold their side of the covenant agreement made at Mount Sinai. They had agreed to live as God's people, demonstrating God's righteousness to the rest of the world, and God had agreed to protect them and to provide for them. In Micah's imaginary trial, God makes an opening argument, describing how God rescued the people from slavery and empowered Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead them during their wilderness journey. When they were threatened by King Balak of Moab, God used that king's own prophet, Balaam, to accomplish God's purposes. When the people entered the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua, the Jordan River parted for them, allowing them to walk from Shittim on the east side of the river to Gilgal on the west. When the people respond to God's accusations, they offer no defense, no extenuating circumstances. They only ask about their religious rituals, as if they could regain God's good favor by offering more extreme sacrifices. But God doesn't want more rituals. God wants a better relationship with us. The prophet steps in to say that the people know what they're supposed to do. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. It's what we were created to do. It's why mortal human beings are the culmination of God's good creation. We are the ones blessed with the wisdom and the freedom to care for our fellow creatures. To do justice means to confront the systems that exploit and marginalize the vulnerable. To love kindness is to nurture solidarity with them in a way that strengthens community. To walk humbly with God is to recognize God among the vulnerable and the oppressed. Micah calls upon God's people to embrace a different way of life so that our entire lives demonstrate a commitment to justice, to mercy, and to fostering a relationship with God. It's a call echoed in the words of Psalm 15, which begins by asking if anyone has the right to live their lives in the presence of God. After listing the behaviors of righteous people, it concludes by saying that those who meet the qualifications to dwell with God are also those who will never be overthrown by the circumstances of life. The criteria for leading a blameless life really aren't demanding. Speak the truth. Don't slander people or take advantage of them. Keep your word. Taking care of your neighbor isn't how you earn God's favor. It's how you show you are aware of the favor you have already received. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that he was commissioned by God to proclaim the gospel. The good news that God loves us enough to die for us. Paul recognizes that many people view God's message as nonsense. The word we translate as the message of the cross is logos, which Greek-speaking people would have understood as the underlying reason and logic of the universe. The humble and self-sacrificing love of God is what holds the universe together. And it is the divine power and the divine wisdom that pull us into a relationship with our Creator. The concept of a God willing to suffer and die is countercultural. It is foolishness in the eyes of a world that has been broken by human sin. But God uses self-sacrificing love to undermine the so-called wisdom of the world. When Paul quotes what is written by the prophet Isaiah, it's a passage that says God rejects human wisdom because people's hearts are far from me and their worship of me is a human commandment. God is love. God exists as humble and self-sacrificing love. The world judges humility and self-sacrifice to be weakness and foolishness. But it is the divine power and divine wisdom that binds all of creation together and brings all of us into relationship with God. Paul's proof is that the church in Corinth did not attract rich and powerful people as much as it did the poor and the powerless. They are the ones who responded to God's love. And God uses them to shame the powerful who will not protect and provide for the powerless. The fact that God chose a path of suffering and death should prove to us that our fixation on power and wealth is misguided, and the world's ways of judging a person's worth are simply wrong. If God blesses people that you treat with contempt, the prophet Micah would say there's something wrong with your religion. When Jesus identifies the poor and the oppressed as people blessed by God, he's also asking whether we consider them blessed and whether they are deserving of our blessing and our attention. Who will comfort the people who mourn? We will. Who will fill the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness? We will. Who will extend mercy to the merciful? We will. Who will identify peacemakers as the children of God? We will. And what will the world do to us when we offer these acts of blessing? It will persecute us for the sake of righteousness. Our reward will be great in heaven, but we won't have to wait to enjoy those rewards because we will be working to create the kingdom of heaven in the here and now.